Good morning. This is Dan Arnold from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is Matthew chapter 28, verses 8 through verse 15. The Reverend Sean Danzer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 28th chapter. So the women departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, "Tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
The Easter oratorio of Johann Sebastian Bach is worth a listen. It starts with the running, all the back and forth between the tomb and the upper room, a little bit of which we hear today with the women running back to the disciples before they're met by Jesus himself on the way. Joy is how Bach begins, but of course, Easter Day began with sorrow in the Gospels. Now, Bach hasn't gotten anything wrong. It says that they departed the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. You don't see an angel without being terrified in the Bible. You do not see strong, fearsome guards laid flat and strewn about on the ground like dead men without wondering what more powerful beast or man has felled them. But perhaps the greatest fear they had was from realizing that they had not believed everything that their Lord had told them so many times and promised. Well, after the running and the laughing for great joy, Bach shifts gears to somber, sorrowful tunes with sighing strings and a weeping flute. And then we hear a little sassy back and forth between Mary Magdalene and the disciples. "Oh, the cold mind of men, where is your love gone? Where is the love that you owe for your Savior? You're off hiding away in your upper room." And then the other Mary chimes in, "Ha! A weak woman had to put you to shame, since we showed ourselves bold enough to step out into the open, bold enough to go down to the tomb to risk the guards." And, well, I suppose they didn't really think through what they were going to do with the stone when they got there. But then Bach has Peter and John come back in. "Ah, no! Affliction, grief, great sorrow of heart, together with salty tears and melancholy. We've been yearning for him. We've been keeping vigil, as it were, for him all this time. These are the salts that we have. These are the myrrh and the spices which we intended for Christ's anointing." Nice job, boys. And then the women sing back the deeper point to them. "You know what? All of these emotions, all of these ceremonies, all of these feelings and actions even, all of these things that we were going to do in honor of our slain friend and master, they're all in vain. Whether we hastened to the tomb or whether we stayed back in mourning, both are the wrong reactions, because Jesus is alive just as he told us." Now, the Lord and his angels rolled back the stone at the early dawn. The Lord and his angels then spent the rest of the day, as you know, rolling back fear and unbelief in all of the Lord's disciples. The word proclaims it, and then with a mixture of joy and sorrow, the women return to the disciples, the presence of the Lord, the ability to reach out and touch him helps first the women, and then it helps those disciples in the upper room, and one of them a week later. And all of this, dear Christians, is written for our instruction and our comfort. Now, the disciples and the women, of course, they should have believed Jesus in the first place. They should have come to the tomb ready to see that stone rolled back, puzzled maybe that Jesus wasn't still there, alive, that is. Or they should have gone to Galilee just like Jesus told them beforehand to do in Mark's gospel. That was the rendezvous point. I suppose maybe you and I would like to chime in with a third movement of the oratorio, pounce on both groups alike, and shame them ourselves. But instead, the Holy Spirit has caused his gospels to be written so that we may have confidence and comfort even through their unbelief. For we see the state of Christ's followers here. We see how fearful, how sad, how slow, how weak, how utterly unable to trust his words, much less imagine something new. That's the state they're in. And that is part of the proof that shows that the resurrection is no false memory. It's no psychological cope. It certainly is not a fabrication by overzealous or cynical disciples looking to invent some new religion and pull one over on all the rest of us. And certainly, what had to be paid with a great bribe could not be true, that they, in all of this sorrow and weakness, had come and stolen away a body despite all of the guards that were there standing before them. It is a reality, instead, that changed their minds that day, that rebuked them in some cases, and that shifted them from sorrow and fear into joy. And that is why they believed. And that is why they give their testimony as well. And likewise, when they do at last see him, as the women do on the way, they also hold on to him and they worship him, it says. It shows that he is no ghost or hallucination. He is flesh and blood. His feet still bear the scars and the blood stains, and yet he is standing on them. So he is no stunt double. He's no man who was subbed in at the last minute, nor is he a man who had almost died and just barely managed to revive and then crawl out of the tomb. No. He is risen. Fear and disbelief must give way to faith. And where there is faith, then there is true worship of God. The call is clear to us who believe and to those who have not yet considered him, how Jesus indeed from death is risen, and therefore he is undoubtedly the Lord's Christ. He is true God. He is, yes, worthy of all worship, even in his flesh, and worthy of all our trust. If Jesus were not raised, our faith would be in vain. But now indeed is Christ risen, just as he said. The stories of unbelief and opposition, they don't add up. While the Gospels speak truthfully and convincingly, and all the more convincingly in the voice of his women, of his disciples who had not expected it and who certainly didn't have the will to orchestrate it as some kind of fraud. Hear their testimony, dear friends, and believe them. Let all of your fears and your doubts give way to joy, as they will entirely at the last day when you are raised in Christ Jesus. And like the women on the road, now and then, O come, let us worship him. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.